Welcome to the LTW Fancast with me, Jess Bunyard.
And me, Jacob Basford.
Hello and welcome. And I'm going to start with a disclaimer because if I don't get it out of the way now, she will only make her presence known at some point recording in the pod. So I'm at my dad's house, cat sitting. Smudge, my cat, is being safely looked after in the warmth of my flat, but I'm looking after Dottie because my parents are away for the next couple of weekends, next couple of days, not next couple of weekends. But she's a bit more vocal than Smudge. Smudge normally sleeps through our podcast recordings. Dottie will no doubt make her presence known, and sometimes refuses to be quiet. So no doubt she will chip in at various moments to offer her thoughts on all of the latest PWR news, potential team sheets, and potential scores for the Trailfinders game. Jacob, now I've got that out of the way. She probably won't make a peep or podcast recording now. I'll have jinxed it. How are you? How was your week?
Hi Jess, I'm very good, thank you. My week was very good. I was in Leicester on Saturday because I went to see Jesus Christ Superstar at the Curve Theatre with Mum, which was brilliant. I really, really loved that. It was the first time I'd seen Jesus Christ Superstar like live in the flesh,
Nice.
and it was awesome. Awesome. I love that musical, and it's such a difficult musical to perform because everyone's doing like rock style singing, and yeah, the vocals were just incredible. So that was my Saturday. Since then, I've been back to the grind uni-wise with seminars, lectures, and also this week we're getting at York Vision, the student newspaper that I'm the sports editor for. We're doing our next print, so I've been busy sort of sorting out my section and doing layup and stuff. So that's going to be out next week, which is really, really cool. But yeah, that's about it. I mean, apart from cat sitting, Jess, anything else to report?
A bit of sort of other rugby related news for me. My newsletter is doing really well, which is a bit of a kind of a personal bonus for me. And I've just signed up to be like a regular contributor for Fill Your Boots, which is like the rugby club social network that helps to kind of support clubs and find clubs and players games. So that's really exciting. And mostly I'm just kind of I'm doing a professional doctorate at the moment, so I'm in a moment of like writing little mini essays and stuff. But it's re-recording on Wednesday, my team train on Tuesday, so I've kind of just finished coaching. I coached there last night, so reflecting on that session, it went really well. We tried some kind of new chaotic defense games that worked really well, because our defense has been
Rugby
really
chaos,
solid, but
TM.
it's need for me to kind of stretch it really. So yeah, it's yeah, chaotic defense game was yeah, it was good. It worked really well. There's some refining and tweaking because it's a brand new game, and I've just tested it out with them for the first time, but it worked, and I've just kind of got to push that a bit more. But that's me kind of rambling about my session. Let's get on with the rest of the pod. So there's no game for us to review this week, but we're going to go through some news. We're going to go through an email that a listener has sent in. We're going to talk about Trailfinders. And in anticipation of a potential debut in a Tigers jersey, our player profile this week is going to be Amy Kakane. And we also have an interview with Magic Meg. And I didn't fangirl too much, I don't think. Maybe only slightly overexcited at the beginning, but we're really, really excited to share that with you. And she's offered us like some amazing insights into what makes a really good centre partnership and why her and the recent signing of Claire Gallagher has maybe been working so well, and how she views the team from sort of start to now in their first ever PWR season. So she offers some really good insights. But first, Jacob, we had an email from John, and John often catches me, I think, at Tigers games, and we have chats and stuff. And he sent a kind of a lengthy email that we've really taken some time to go through. But we also wanted to just say just a massive thank you for the email, because we love it when people write in and share thoughts. And I think John had some really cool reflections about team improvements from the recent signings. my perspective is, yeah, there's been some clever signings, like John has said, but it's also, I think, balanced with the amount of time that, like, playing in the PWR has given us. So I think it's almost like 50% of bringing new signings to boost what we already have. And then the squad as a whole, just, I think, feeling more secure in the PWR, and like feeling like we have the right to be here. What are your thoughts? And also, obviously, a thank you to John for that email, because it was amazing. It was an entire essay, like a thesis, and I loved reading it.
Yeah, it was a very, very good essay. Thank you, John Pugh. I mean, thank you already for just the general interactions we've been having on Twitter as well, on social media. And yeah, he was writing about quite a lot of stuff, but yeah, his first point was about specifically the addition of our two Canadian signings, Julia Mokwale and Claire Gallagher. And yeah, John was writing about how he felt that Meg Jones had an amazing season, but just having the addition of Claire has really brought the best out of Meg all the time, and has sort of allowed that real effective sort of double pivot to work at points as well. So yeah, thank you for those comments, John, and also thank you so much for your very, very kind comments on myself and Jess and our work on the pod this season. It's lovely to hear that kind of feedback. And so yeah, if any of the fans are listening, any of the supporters listening of the podcast, and they want to write in, give us feedback, give us criticism, whatever, we love any kind of interaction. Please do email us at ltwfancast@gmail.com. You can always interact with us at our Twitter at ltwfancast. And yeah, we're also still on the Contested app, so do download Contested and follow us on that social media channel as well.
Before we continue with the rest of the podcast, a word of thank you from our sponsors, Leicester Forest Rugby Club. So a massive, massive thank you and kind of hip hip hooraying to Leicester Forest Rugby Club, who have decided to sponsor us for this season. And I'm really, really excited because they're such a strong grassroots club, and we know they've got strong links to Tigers. And for me, I'm really, really pleased to be linking with a grassroots club that's so passionate about women and girls rugby and working so hard in the Leicestershire region to help grow the game. And just like the Leicester Tigers women's team, I feel it's important for us to build strong connections with the surrounding community. So we know, you know, and I know when I spoke to Vicky for a previous publication, she didn't just want to like pick up and drop a women's team in the middle of Leicestershire without any connection to the outside world. She wanted to help grow women and girls rugby in the surrounding region and then forge stronger pathway links and grow the game and help more people pick up a rugby ball and experience the benefits of it and use the Leicester Tigers women's team, a successful Leicester Tigers women's team, to do that. So for us, it feels like we're helping that model by forging these really, really strong links with Leicester Forest Rugby Club. So we're going to bring you some more info, some insights into the rugby club, the strong links they've got with Tigers. But for now, thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Leicester Forest Rugby Club, for sponsoring us. And I'm really, really excited that we're building such strong connections with such a strong community rugby club. On to the news. As is traditional, we're going to start with the PWR results. There's only one PWR result from the weekend. That is Gloucester Hartbury versus Sale Sharks. Gloucester Hartbury scored 29 points and Sale Sharks scored 3. Obviously, that means Gloucester Hartbury continue their reign at the top of the table going into this weekend. Moving on and going briefly to the Southern Hemisphere, Jo Yap, who's former coach of Worcester, and she's also coached the Barbarians, she's officially landed in Australia as the first full-time coach of the Wallaroos. And one of her goals kind of straight away that she said she wants to make an impact with is to get the Wallaroos into the top four, which is a kind of an amazing, ambitious target, a really kind of, I think, really achievable goal potentially for them to have. Kind of in line with that, I think Super W, which is Australia's own kind of domestic women's league, they're making some exciting plays because they've been able to draw some Australian talent back home from the PWR. So Laurie Kramer has left Exeter to return to Australia to play in the Super W tournament. Rugby Julia, who I follow on Twitter, that's retweeted by Scrum Queens, said that this might be an indication of the seriousness of Super W in kind of wanting to compete with PWR and the rest of the kind of domestic women's leagues that are happening around the world. So that's kind of an indication of maybe a Joe Yap Australia Wallaroos effect, but also I think indicates the ambition of Super W in wanting to really, really make Australia's domestic women's league rugby competition on par with what the PWR is and really make it a space for domestic Australian women's rugby to shine.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, the current choice at the moment really for Aussie female rugby players before Super W was the PWR, or it was Super Rugby Aupaki in New Zealand. So to have their own proper domestic setup is really good. It's really good to see that the Australian Rugby Union, they've had years of turmoil. There's still turmoil going on, according to the Aussie press, with the Melbourne Rebels in men's Super Rugby. But by and large, they're trying to get their house in order a little bit, which is very, very necessary. Rugby union is, we talk about how perilous it is in England and Wales at the moment. It's really struggling in Australia. It's always struggled against rugby league, but it's especially now it's really getting to sort of a critical point. So hopefully this is one of the indications that they're trying to get their house in order. Australia, the Wallaroos have got some really, really exciting players. If anyone watched Squidge Rugby's Team of the Year, Robin Will had some Wallaroos players in that, and they were young, exciting talent. So to have a full-time professional coach of the quality of Joe Yap is something that's very, very exciting and something to keep a keen eye on going forward. So yeah, all the best to Joe, and I really hope that the Wallaroos achieve that goal of being top four, because that's just great for the women's game, because it makes it really competitive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I realise now this is a pretty global news section, because we're heading straight from Australia over to Canada to bring you the news that TNT has got the rights to the HSBC 7 series, which we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. The Vancouver leg of the series will take place this weekend and will be on TNT Sports and Discovery Plus. Now, we know, because I've probably said it every week, that Tigers love a sevens player. So watching men's and women's sevens on TNT Sports and Discovery Plus, you might be able to hopefully spot a future signing or spot a future star of the Tigers shirt or the future star of the PWR in sevens, as well as increasing the accessibility of sevens, which I'm all for, and increasing hopefully the accessibility of women's rugby by having it available on TNT and Discovery Plus, which I think is really, really cool.
So yeah, also, you know, there's loads of players to look out for in both the men's and women's game. If you're just a general sevens fan, or you know, looking at potential signings, particularly for the sevens, for the women's rugby team. But there's also, it's been announced, it was announced last night, recording Wednesday morning, it was announced last night on Tuesday night. The Team GB squad for the Vancouver Sevens was announced, for both the men's and the women's. And in the women's, Leicester Tigers' Celia Quanzar has been named to play in the Vancouver Sevens, which is awesome news, because Celia has been injured for most of the season, so we haven't seen her yet. So the fact that she's fit and that she's going to be playing in Vancouver is awesome, and hopefully she gets some game time under her belt, and then potentially, we'll see if she spends the rest of the season with the HSBC Sevens, or whether she just does that to get some game time and then come back, and we might be seeing her in a couple of games this season. Who knows? But if you need a chance to watch the HSBC Sevens on TNT for the Vancouver leg, keep an eye out for Celia Quanzar.
Widening, when we talk about widening the kind of global spread of the game, we mentioned it on our socials. We're going to dig into it in a little more detail now. There's the Superpower Weekend, which is coming up next weekend. So not this upcoming round, but the 2nd to 3rd of March. It will see all four Allianz Premiership women's rugby matches broadcast live and all games being played in main stadiums. In a PWR first, Tigers are going to take on Saracens at the Stonex Stadium in a match that will be live streamed on TikTok Sports and YouTube, which means that the league will be opened up to audiences across the globe. So not only are we going to get the opportunity to see all four games, which is really, really exciting, but to have matches streamed on TikTok Sports, on YouTube, means everybody can get to see it. And that includes Tess Fury's family, because she's been interviewed as part of the PWR media release push for Superpower Weekend, which is really good. So she quotes, I'm going to read out a couple of quotes. She says, to have all games streamed on some sort of viewing platform is huge. Having access to watch our games is what's really going to grow the sport, and people want to see us play. Leicester Tigers are such an exciting team to follow from the beginning of the season to now. If people worldwide had the opportunity to watch that from start to finish, there'd be even more hype built. It's the best league in the world, and it's exciting to put an entire weekend dedicated to women's rugby. And I think that's the key for me. It's not just an entire weekend dedicated to women's rugby, but only broadcast within England. It's an entire weekend dedicated to women's rugby that's being broadcast globally. We've seen the power that TikTok has had within women's rugby, with TikTok previously sponsoring the Women's Six Nations. Now that's moved to Guinness. However, I think the stats and the increase of viewership on TikTok sport, women's rugby, and I think also women's football channels, I can't remember the stats off the top of my head, but Women's Sports Trust released a report last week before, that kind of delved into some of the audience viewing figures of that. And TikTok has had a massive growth within women's sport. So, and it's obvious, isn't it? Because it just enables you to watch the rugby right on your phone. The clips are right on your phone. So having this accessibility, I think, is going to be huge. And I'm really, really excited for it. Jacob, what are you thinking? I mean, there are no downsides to this, because not only can we watch all of the games now on PWR for TNT Sports, but you could be anywhere in the part of the world and watch it on TikTok or YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited. I think it's really good that the fixtures have all sort of fallen into place, that there's no men's, women's Six Nations, there's no Gallagher Prem. So the PWR have this massive opportunity to showcase just themselves in the rugby world, which I think is a really, really good opportunity. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it goes with all the matches being live streamed. In an ideal world, I would hope that to be every week. You know, kind of have that sole game on TNT and then have all the others streamed on YouTube or TikTok. I think that's a good idea, because that caters to both audiences as well. Like, TikTok is sort of more accessible to the younger audiences, but YouTube is, you know, my mama can get that on the telly, for example, on YouTube and stuff, or on her iPad. So, you know, there's all that kind of accessibility stuff as well, which is really, really good. So yeah, I think it's going to be really, really good. I've been loving the promo for it, and it's going to be really good, just from a selfish point of view, from my perspective, and probably yours as well. We've got that match to watch and then look over, and then, you know, we can do sort of a more in-depth analysis that week as well, which will be really, really exciting. And that challenge away at Saracens is going to be pretty daunting. I mean, we'll see how we go first against Ealing. I mean, obviously, we spoke about before that we might potentially use that Saracens game as an opportunity to improve our English player qualified average. So we'll see how that goes. But no, I think it's going to be really, really good. And as Tess Fury says in her article for the PWR, I think it'll be awesome if that weekend is just sort of bookended for many seasons to become, and everyone knows that is the Super PWR weekend, which I think is a great name, by the way. So, you know, hats off to PWR for that sort of promo front. I think that's great.
Yes, and rounding out our news section, we've gone to Australia, we've gone to Canada, and now we'll bring you a little bit closer to home, because we're going to go to Scotland. And the news was announced this week that five Leicester Tigers players have been announced in the extended Scotland squad ahead of the Guinness Six Nations. So we've got Leah Bartlett, Lisa Cockburn, Eva Donaldson, Ellis Martin, and Fran McGee are all included. Obviously, all five have starred for Tigers this season, and Scotland get their Guinness Six Nations campaign underway in over a month's time, away to Wales on Saturday, March the 24th. This is exciting, I keep saying the word exciting today, but I think I'm just generally excited. I know listeners have got that Meg Jones interview to come, and I'm still kind of on a high from chatting to her yesterday. We've spoken about the strong Scottish contingent that are in the PWR. We highlighted it for that first Loughborough Lightning home fixture. I think it's a testament to the hard work and talent that we've got in this squad, that all of the players have put their hands up, have been recognised, and have now been selected in this extended squad. So I'm thrilled to bits for them. They are very well deserved call-ups, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. They are well deserved. All five players have been massive for us this season. I mean, obviously Leah Bartlett, Ellis Martin, Lisa Cockburn are all bloody Caledonian ABC front row club. You know, they've been playing most games for us as the starting 1, 2, 3. They've been awesome. Eva Donaldson's been really, really good. I really, really rate her as well in the second row. I think her line out potential is very high, and I'm very keen to see her continue to develop that and hopefully get some more minutes for Scotland in this Six Nations. She's had a couple of caps with a couple of minutes off the bench. It'll be really, really good to see her hopefully get some real minutes this tournament. And yeah, obviously we've spoken so much about Fran McGee on this pod this season. It's been incredible, really, the scores that she's been you know, the tries that she's been scoring, and also just her general attacking threat. I mean, people are getting really excited about the quality of Scotland's backline for the Six Nations. Obviously, our own Fran McGee's at the heart of that, and I'm sure we have mentioned in previous pods, like obviously we've had the Celtic Challenge this year. There'll be University of Edinburgh players selected, so it's not just purely PWR players. So in terms of thinking who's first choice and who isn't, might be difficult, but I definitely think that especially Leah Bartlett, Ellis Martin and Fran McGee, I think in my opinion should be starters in that Six Nations opener for Scotland, which I did say on the Twitter when the news was announced. So yeah, I just think it's awesome news. They've all done so well for us this season, and also, as I tweeted, it's probably news that Evie Wills, which is a Scottish centre that we signed over the summer, she's been injured. She has been videoed sort of running unaided on a pitch, so that indicates her rehab is not far away. But the fact that she hasn't been selected in this extended training squad probably indicates that she's still some time away. So we'll see if we do see Evie Wills before the end of the season, because I think she's got a lot of potential. I really enjoyed her introducing video she did with Tigers at the start of the season, and obviously she has scored some tries for Scotland. So that's going to be interesting to see if we do see her before the start of the season, because I think she will be a fantastic player and one potentially that Tigers fans don't know yet, but will hopefully come to get to soon. But going back to that Six Nations squad announcement, I think that's fab news. I think from a wider Scottish perspective, it's a very, very strong squad, obviously. We talk about the Loughborough Lightning back row, Rachel Malcolm. She's been huge for Loughborough this season. So yeah, there's a lot of talent and belief in that Scottish squad, which makes this Six Nations quite enticing, because there's been a few Six Nations where it's just kind of been England or France, and I think this tournament's going to be a lot more open, because I think Wales are definitely in that conversation as well. We are absolutely thrilled to announce Charnwood Vintners as the proud sponsor of our Six Nations Fantasy League. They'll be offering a magnum of wine, that's two bottles in one, for the winner. Charnwood Vintners, Leicestershire's local wine merchant, brings an exquisite selection of wines from around the globe. Explore their exceptional range and discover the perfect bottle for any occasion by visiting charnwoodvintners.com. So we've also had some news from the club. If you're not a season ticket holder, an email was sent to season ticket holders on Tuesday, yesterday, for news about season tickets for the 24-25 season. There's been some discussions on Twitter. This is another shout out for SBK Keane for just You know, his stuff on the general financials, price rises in the last sort of 10 years or so. So that do check out SBK for sort of a little bit of a breakdown on that. That's some really good and insightful stuff as well. But let's go on to the news, what Andrea Pitchin said to season ticket holders. So for the 24-25 season, there will be no dual season ticket for the men's and women's team, unlike this season. And for the men's season ticket, there's going to be a price rise of some description. This email media release was sort of a warning that there's going to be a price increase. We don't know how much, which is what's causing the speculation on Twitter, but we'll see how that plays out. There's some interesting stuff about the women's season ticket, though, because they said that they were unable to confirm exact details of the women's season ticket because they're waiting on the PWR and, as an extension, the Alliance Cup to get full confirmation of those games before they can announce details of the season ticket, which can be taken to infer that potentially there might be negotiations behind the scenes to get the team back up to a 10-team league for next season. Obviously, at the start of the PWR, we were supposed to have a 10-team league season, but unfortunately, University of Worcester Warriors women had to pull out and we went to a 9-team league. Again, I'll do another shout-out. Fee Thomas of The Telegraph did a great interview with some Worcester Warriors players. I do really recommend checking that out, because that was quite a very interesting story of the surprise that everyone thought that there was going to be the funding, that they did have the long-term vision to be able to support University of Worcester Warriors women team going forward in the long term, 4 or 5 seasons. So for that to come crashing down so suddenly whilst the cup was going on was obviously a shock to those players. So please do check out that interview. But the fact that Tigers are unable to confirm a season ticket potentially suggests that the PWR are maybe exploring options, shall we say, that to get that league back up to 10 teams. That's kind of the news. That's all we know thus far, really. But Jess, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think? Because I'm just trying to think from my personal perspective of I'm still going to be a student next year. I'm going to be hopefully doing my master's. At the moment, I'm on the dual men's women's season ticket. So from my personal perspective, that's looking like I'm going to have to make some quite tough decisions with myself and my parents as to what I do for next season to be able to support both teams. Enough about that. What about you?
What I did like is the fact that because this is, although it went out to season ticket holders yesterday, this is now just on the club website as of 7 a.m. Wednesday morning, 21st of Feb. Is that in the statement, I'm going to directly quote it, it says, "We believe individual products for both men's and women's seasons is a much more streamlined and transparent approach moving forward, although we will ensure ease of purchase for both." A, that's pleasing because you don't want it getting too complicated on what season ticket you've got and what season ticket you're adding to your basket and all of that stuff. Speak there because I'm probably an easily confused person when it comes to ticket buying website processes. But what I do like is that this may be backed up by data that we know the potential has women's rugby. And I must say it every week. I must sound like a broken record, but women's rugby has the potential to attract new audiences. But those new audiences might be put off if all they see is a dual season ticket that says men's and women's rugby. So there might be some people that go, well, I don't want that. So advertising it as just a standalone might draw those people in. Equally, if you're sat around having to make decisions, as some people might, about which one do I go for? Do I go for the men's season ticket or do I go for the women's season ticket? Obviously, you'll still be able to purchase those standalone tickets, and we know those women's rugby standalone tickets, we'll read you the ticket prices out for the Trailfinders game, have been, I think, really, really competitive pricing. So I think whatever the price increase for both men's and women's rugby, I think we can still be rest assured as fans, as supporters, that it will still be within a competitive price range, and we'll still get value for money. Whether it's a 10-team league or not, that's out of our club's control. What is in our club's control and in our coaches and players' control is to offer the best rugby, the best competitive rugby, the best value for money, and the best experience when you're at the ground. Those are the types of things that make me want to go there and spend more money when I am there. The coffees, the sausage rolls, the extra bit of training gear that I need for coaching in, all of that type of stuff. We need to offer the best rugby, the most competitive rugby, and the best experience. And I see us seeking to always look to do that. And I'm not just talking about trophies. Obviously, shout out to the men's team who are through to that Prem Rugby Cup final. It's not just about trophies. It's about exciting rugby, competitive rugby, but also a really, really good experience when you're in the stands. A friendly, a welcoming, enjoyable experience for everyone. And I think we do really well at that. I think when we highlighted those stats from the Harlequin survey that they did a couple of about 2 years ago, and we spoke about LGBTQ topics within sport, I think we can always look to get better. We spoke about in that episode about how Tigers particularly could improve with that. But I noticed a couple of weeks ago, and it didn't get that much shout about, that I think we're offering some kits for neurodivergent people to make their experience the best it can be for them. So tailored to different people's needs. So more stuff like that. Free period products in the toilets. I know we spoke about it on our very first pod. I'm still waiting to see it at Matty Ely Was Welford Road. That would be something that, again, would be really, really good investment for the club to make and make it even more welcoming, even if I don't need them. The fact that I walk in and see them there in the toilets makes me feel more relaxed, makes me feel seen. We've been to some sporting grounds where in the past it has not been an enjoyable experience for me. There was one sporting ground I won't name. It wasn't rugby union, but I was a teenager, and we were standing, and the man behind kept touching my shoulder, just my shoulder. But whenever there was at any moment in a game, he just kept touching my shoulder and neck area, and I had to keep pulling myself away. That's just a strange man behind me, and that was just my shoulder, but it was really jarring and made it not an enjoyable experience. So it's important, I think, what gives us value for money, that we take into account not just what's happening on the pitch, but our enjoyment, whether we're in the stands or we're seated or wherever we are, that has to be an enjoyable experience, and everybody has to feel seen and valued, engaged and supported, so that they can watch it. Obviously, and I've been watching the Wrexham documentary, and they've got a special area for some people, and they can wear ear defenders so it blocks out some sensory stimulation for people, and that's just the norm. I'd love to see stuff like that at Tigers. And I really am apologizing if I'm getting some of my language wrong. I'm still learning about my language use when it comes to sensory needs and neurodivergent people. But if we could see something like that at Tigers, I could see where some of the money was going, as well as just on pitch. And I know supporting on pitch is massively important. We have a proud history of winning trophies at this club, but I want to see some more stuff as well. Adding the neurodivergent stuff, the sensory aids into an offer at Leicester Tigers that I saw we did a couple of weeks ago is massive. It's a start. And I'm excited to see what more they put out for fans. Let's move on to our player profile, and we're getting very giddy, very excited. We're joining the hype train because our player profile this week is Amy Kakane. Tigers have got us very overexcited, very giddy, because she's been non-stop featuring on Tigers social media She's the player that's featured alongside the Trailfinders promos for this Friday's Friday Night Lights, kicking off at Matty Hollywood's Welford Road at 7 p.m. I'm going to run you through some kind of bullet point history, and then Jacob's going to go into the nitty gritty detail. So here's a brief synopsis of Amy Kilcain's rugby history. She started playing rugby at Lichfield at age 6. When her family emigrated to New Zealand, she played for her school there and captained the successful team. When I say successful, I really do mean successful. They won 53 consecutive games during her captaincy, which is amazing. She has so far amassed a total of 72 caps. She played her debut World Cup in 2017, and she played every game in her debut World Cup as well. She featured in every single one of them. She completed some Royal Air Force training, and what I think is really, really impressive, often combines Royal Air Force duties with international rugby. So talk about world-class juggling act. She was awarded a full-time England contract in 2019. Her club career and international career includes Lichfield Ladies, England Women Under-20s, England Women, obviously, Wasps and Harlequins. I also found a site that said she won the European Championship with England Under-18 Sevens team and has played for the England Under-27s. So, Sevens are running theme again through this Tiger squad. Jacob, I'm really, really excited. We're going to talk about it a little bit. The reason we're talking about it is because Tigers have hyped the heck out of her. I am now, because of that, and if this is untrue, we've only got Tigers to blame, I'm 80% certain she will feature in that matchday squad for Trailfinders. So before you go into detail with all the Amy facts, your percentage of certainty that she will be in the matchday squad, please.
90%. I'm pretty much there. I feel like the club have been pretty confident in her fitness to do all this promo. And I think this is an opportunity to give a shout out to the club, because the promo for the Ealing game has been very, very good. Not necessarily focused on Amy Kilcain, but she has been sort of the photo of the sort of the main post that gives you all the details. So 7 p.m. Friday Night Lights, Matty Hollywood's Welford Road. They've also done like highlight reels, you know, they've done like sneak pictures. It's like, oh, look who's back in training and stuff, get your tickets to the Ealing game. So it's really great promo from the club. They also did a separate video which we retweeted yesterday on Tuesday, which was the like highlights reel of sort of all the big hits that our Tigers players have been putting in this season. So that was fantastic. So quick shout out to that to the club for that. But yeah, I'm 90% sure. I mean, I can always think to, because they could have done it two ways. They could have kept it really secret. They could have done I know they did it with Manu Tuilagi a couple of times where they were like, oh, no, he's still a week away. And then lo and behold, he's on the bench. So I remember they did that a couple of times. But no, I think it's really, really good to make her at the heart of that promo, because obviously she's a world-class player. She's our second Red Rose alongside Magic Meg, who we interview on the pod later on. And yeah, I think to make the most out of that, to make the most out of the fact that it's a Friday night game, which isn't clashing with any Six Nations fixture this weekend as well, that there's a real opportunity to get probably our biggest crowd of the season, which is really, really exciting. So yeah, hats off to the club for that. But to more details, excuse me. Yeah, so Flight Lieutenant Amy Kilcain. I think I think that's really cool. Like, I remember, you know, back in the old days when the rugby and the cricket teams, it'd be like the titles would be Mr. E. Dullah, and it'd be if there were a reverend, it'd be Reverend Dot, and it, or if they're in the military, it'd be like Flight Lieutenant. So the fact that like Amy Kilcain is a full time officer in the RAF makes me think about that, which I think is, from like a historical nerdy point of view, I think is pretty cool. But yes, as Jess says, she was born in Ipswich, then started rugby at Cleve Rugby Club in Bristol, then went to Lichfield, where she was also a goalkeeper for Aston Villa Football Club under Thames. And her dad, Ian, who will give a quick shout out, big fan of the pod, is a big Aston Villa supporter, and her initials spell out AVFC. So, you know, questionable club support just from a Leicester City perspective. But, you know, moving on.
No, we'll have Ian in our DMs. We'll have him in our DMs.
Yeah. The apologies about that, Ian. So, yeah, so the school that Jess mentioned in New Zealand when her family moved there because her dad joined the New Zealand Air Force. So, you know, military and rugby and just general competitiveness in the Kakane family through and through. She went to Fielding High School, which rugby pedigree is pretty insane. The Black Ferns Sevens captain, Sarah Goss, is an alumni of there, as well as Sam Whitelock and Aaron Smith. So, you know, the fact that she was the captain of such a successful rugby school is such great pedigree for the All Blacks and the Black Ferns and Sevens and Fifteens and Women's and Men's is an incredible feat. And yeah, obviously she could have very much been a Black Fern. She made that choice at sort of 16 to come back to England, but she could have very much been a star Black Ferns. So that's very much a what if. But one of the reasons she came back to the UK was to play for England. So she chose England. So yeah, she went to Hartbury College, then Loughborough University, and then to Lichfield Rugby Club, where she was playing with current Tigers teammates who were also at Lichfield at the time. She mentioned in her introducing video, she mentioned Sarah Nicholas. She also mentioned scrum half Lucy Nye, who is also part of the RAF, and they're both part of the RAF police, if I'm not mistaken. So that's quite a cool fact as well. I mean, Jess was talking about sort of her club career and her England career. I think to get more giddy and exciting about just the quality and of player that we're getting, who's, you know, she's only sort of she's sort of 27, 26, I want to believe. So she's still mid, you know, so she's a really experienced rugby player, but she's still got a lot of time ahead of her. So this is a really exciting sort of long-term signing. And I just want to sort of read sort of some of the titles that she's won. So obviously with Harlequins, she won what was then the Alliance 15s title in 2021. But it's on the England front where sort of the stats get really insane. So since her debut in the 2015 Six Nations at just age 19, she has won six Six Nations tournaments, five of which are Grand Slams. That includes seven Triple Crowns and has appeared in consecutive World Cup finals in 2017 and 2022. And she is the only English player in either the men's or women's game to have ever scored a hat-trick in a World Cup final. So, you know, that's just sort of the experience and the quality of player that we are getting. I mean, obviously, I can't imagine sort of the vibe she's able to bring to camp since she's been in full-time training as well. Like, that's going to be massive. And we talked a lot about how good Ellis Martin has been this season. And I know we've spoken about it a couple of times on previous pods, but to have that competition between Ellis Martin and Amy Kakane is not only great depth in that hooker position, but I think it will ensure that Amy Kakane's at the best of her game, and ensure that Ellis Martin's at the best of her game as well. And that's going to be a really exciting sort of ding dong going forward. So yeah, really, really exciting. Obviously, if she does play on Friday, that won't be her Matilda Woods Welford Road debut, because she played there for England against Ireland in that game in 2022. But obviously this will be the first time that she'll be running out in a Tigers jersey, which is obviously very, very exciting. I'm going to end this player profile, Jess, with just a quick thing. So I know Meg talked about it in her interview that we're going to have later on the pod about her brew and biscuits, where apparently if you watch the introducing video she did with Leicester Tigers TV, apparently she has her brew and biscuits. Apparently it's a Yorkshire tea brew, but it's biscuit flavoured or something like that. It was very, very weird, but nonetheless, at least as two people who are proud residents of Yorkshire, she's drinking the right tea.
I mean, I don't actually drink tea, mate. So,
oh.
I'm a coffee drinker. So I have no stake in this whatsoever. So I saw you writing that and I was like, I know he's going to mention this, but I have to break it to him on air that I have no no stake in the tea debate whatsoever. I'm a coffee drinker through and through. I will drink coffee at 5 a.m. in the morning and at 11 p.m. at night, and all the way through. I'm sorry to disappoint. I'm sure I'll get yelled at on social media now. That will be the comment that we'll get.
I feel like a fraud. I feel like a fraud because I've only drank Yorkshire tea since coming up to University of York. So I'm not a born and bred Yorkshireman. I'm only a sort of an aspiring
interloper.
an aspiring Yorkshireman. But yeah, no, time to get really, really excited. I think we'll now move on to our sort of the match preview of the evening game itself, where we'll try and not talk about Amy Kane for 20 minutes.
I make no promises whatsoever.
No promises. But I think it'll be, yeah, it's awesome to have her back training. It's going to be, I think she'll be on the bench. I think Ellis Martin will start, but we'll probably see sort of a good 30 to 35 minutes of Amy Kane against Ealing. And, you know, that's going to be a moment, I think. That's going to be a huge impact point when she comes on. But yeah, listeners will be aware that we've kind of broken our own rules a little bit by having a forward three times in a row instead of going to the backs. But we felt that with the high probability that Amy Kane is making a debut, it had to be the player profile this week. So yeah, apologies for anyone. I know if I'd have been a listener, I'd have been the pedantic message on Twitter being like, you've done three forwards in a row. On to the match preview.
Welcome, Meg. Welcome to the LTW Fancast. Obviously, I want to start by talking about the Tigers' PDR journey so far. It's been amazing to follow, and there's been so many improvements across the season already. Obviously, you've spoken about goals and learnings in the post-match interviews you've done. What are your reflections about the season so far?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I think we went into this league, I guess, obviously very fresh, but I guess not knowing where we were going to be, or where we were, I guess the standards we were going to set ourselves. Our first game against Exeter, like, I think we just started off so well. We blew them out of the park a little bit. Obviously, we didn't get the win, but I think they were surprised. And then I think the knock-on effect was the rest of the league were kind of surprised with what we were producing. So yeah, I think started off with not having an expectation on what we were going to get out of it. But that now fully immersed into the league, I think we feel like we are true contenders. We're a team that, you know, have variety in the way we play, a bit of freedom as well. It's very, you know, not sporadic, but I guess it's different in terms of the setup we play. So yeah, I think for me now, I think it's just about creating higher standards, because it's easy to be like repeating the same stuff each week. But for us to get better, we have to have a minimum. So now each week we've kind of pushed the bar a little bit more, and it's kind of going, right, we can't go back three spaces to then make one leap. Can we push it where we're staying the same, or we're making one leap forward? So yeah, a lot of it now is just moving forward together, fine-tuning the details that we wanted to do at the beginning, but maybe we got wrong trying to put too much detail into it at the beginning. Whereas now we're able to do that because we have the foundation of the group, and also players are learning ridiculous amounts each week, you know, just from playing and the experience they're getting at a high league. I think it's amazing to see the progressions we've made. And like I said, I think teams now aren't underestimating us as much. You know, you might see some teams putting out their second teams to keep hold of their big guns for like big games. But, you know, Gloucester did that against us, and we nearly came away with a win. So, yeah, it's just important that we see that almost as a compliment, I think, for people to be like, oh, wait, hold on. We're going to have to put some good names against you to make this competitive. So, yeah. Super proud of where this team's gone. And I think, you know, in years to come, or, you know, even maybe next season, we might start pushing that top four boundary.
Yeah, 100%. I have to ask about the kind of slow clap moment in the derby against Saints and Lightning, because that I think that was my favorite moment of the whole match. Like, what went through your mind when they start to like slow clap you, and then you just joined in? Like, what was your thought process? What are you thinking about?
Yeah, I think just the type of player I am, I just love entertaining. I think that's the whole point. My dad always says, "Oh, he's such an entertainer." But like, I feel relaxed when, I think people have this perception of like, oh, when you're playing professionally or, you're this big name. I'm not saying I'm a big name, but a name that people maybe spotlight on other teams, that you have to be serious and really straight-laced and, get your work done really vigorously. But I just like to have fun with it. And they started slow clapping. I think it was the Northampton Saints mascot. So I just thought it was funny to join in. And, it was kind of like a long jump. It gave me like sort of like long jump moments where the long jump athlete would kind of like try and G him up. But yeah, like it obviously helped because I managed to get the kick. So must have given me some adrenaline, or I don't know. I guess maybe eased me into it as well. So yeah, I think that's kind of the thought process behind it. I just want to have a good time.
Yeah.
And yeah, make people laugh as well, which is my personality. So
I love that. And talking about kind of away from my favorite, talking about sort of people's fan favorite, the centre partnership between you and Claire Gallagher, I think has fast become people's kind of favorite on pitch combo. So what do you think your key like to a good centre partnership is? What in your opinion makes you and Claire working so good? And then if you kind of go, this is the ideal template for a centre partnership, what is it?
Yeah, when she came in, I just knew we were going to click. We play quite similar, actually. We're quite like good runners, good elusive runners. We see the game quite similarly as well. I think the biggest thing, and I said this to Claire as well, it was like there's no egos in this. So if she wants to call something, we call it. If she wants to have a go, she's seen something, we spot it. But the main thing is we do it together, and vice versa. So I think we really trust what each other say, but also like really back the decisions that we make. And I think that's the perfect, I guess, centre partnership. So yeah, I think that was my biggest thing, is that look, we're both going to be good additions to this group. How can we make it better? Run past kick threats, which makes it unstoppable for defenders because you don't know who's going to come off. We're also like good elusive runners, which again, hard for defence to kind of stay man on. You kind of got to go maybe two man tackles at times, or have a couple more the defenders closer together, which means then there's wider space out wide. So yeah, I think that was important. But also, yeah, I think just the mutual respect we have for each other, which is only growing as well.
And kind of speaking about unstoppable forces, leads me to my next question. Obviously, there's an understandable excitement on my part and everybody else's, Amy Cocaine, and seeing the kind of snapshots of her at training. You've played together before for WXV as part of that England relationship. What's she like as a player and a person?
Yeah, so me and Cokes, we go back to when we were 16. We went to Hartbury College together. Well, I say she went to Hartbury College. She rocked up, I think, maybe with like 6 months to go from New Zealand. Basically, drank cups of tea with Abby Brown and ate biscuits for the whole time. And we're like, oh, she was basically there to play rugby. So, no, yeah, she's a great character. Straight to the point is where how I'd put it. But also doesn't take herself too seriously, which is again what I love. But a ridiculously good rugby player. She's one of those players is like, well, just get your head in there. There's no technical point. It's like, well, just get your head in. Like, there's no issue here. Just literally get your head and whack it against that brick wall as hard as you can. So yeah, I love playing with her. Did a bit of 20s with her as well. So I'm really, really excited to see her on the pitch. Because again, I think she offers something different when she's relaxed and composed. Having a good time as well, because she can run, she can pass, and she can kick. So yeah, not to plant any seeds out there, but I hope she delivers on that front. So we'll see.
And then looking ahead to Trailfinders on Friday night, it feels like a really exciting moment of the team to kind of really make a real statement at home. Obviously, we've put in some fantastic performances, but our wins have come away. What are your thoughts about the fixture and about the opposition? Obviously, Trailfinders new to the league like we are.
Yeah, Friday Night Lights. I think amazing opportunity for us as a club to kind of showcase how much we're buying into the women's game as well. But as players as well, we've said that we really want to push it as much as we can on our socials. you know, just word of mouth and pushing it from that front, because ultimately you get bums on seats. It shows a good showcase for the women's game, and also gives you as players a bit of leverage to kind of go, hold on a minute, there is a viable product here. So let's chase it a little bit more. So that's the first thing. Play kneeling again. Obviously we lost. I think we felt a bit disheartened when we went to their neck of the woods. But I think ultimately it's going to be a good battle. Like, we've got some good momentum. Same with them. You know, they got some key threats in there, Abidal being one of them. But they've also got a good backing behind them with Giselle as head coach. So, yeah, it's going to be another good game. But I don't know. I like to put money on us just because of how we've come into it. Obviously, I'm not going to say we're going to lose, are we? But yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. And a very competitive game of that, like the Loughborough game, hopefully.
Yeah, awesome. So we are building up to our next fixture, which, as we've already mentioned, we are 80, 90% certain, hopeful, excited that it will feature Amy Kilcane. I'm hopeful we can do the Ealing double, as obviously last weekend the men's team beat Ealing Trailfinders men's in the semi-final of the Prem Cup, the Gallagher Prem Cup. I think this, almost like the men's game, will be a testing affair for both sides, because we know Trailfinders have got power and pace. The last time we played them, the score, and I think it was a November-December fixture, I want to say, and the score was about 36 points to them, 7 points to us. However, this feels like a totally different team now. The learning, the growth, the way players have stepped up to the challenge of the PWR, I think has been immense. I think we use some of those fixtures, like the early Trailfinders fixtures, it was a real testing ground for us to find our mettle, to prove our worth, to step up to the challenges, to respond, to see what the challenges were this PWR League. I feel it's going to be different this time around, especially with the signings we've made to bolster the squad, to help everybody's learnings and improvements, and the fact that we might have our returning Red Rose making her Leicester Tigers shirt debut at Matt Illiwa's Welford Road. I before we get into kind of our thoughts about squads and score lines, I do want to say that this, because most Friday Night Lights fixtures are kind of, we're used to them being an eight kickoff, a 7:45 kickoff. It kicks off this weekend at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock kickoff, which I think is, I think maybe almost, I'm thinking about our poll that we did a couple of weeks ago about why people aren't coming to the women's fixtures, reasons for not attending yet, or reasons for not staying around after a men's fixture. And I think it was almost the lateness of some fixtures if you've got family along. So this feels like a much more family-friendly kickoff time than a 7:45, 8 o'clock kickoff. And I'm hoping that's obviously one of the thought processes that has gone into a 7 p.m. kickoff. So I'm hoping we see some more families there on Friday night. We're going as a family. As I said last week, my mum's coming along. As I also said to Meg when we'd stopped recording, I was like, yes, so my mum's coming. I don't think she was especially excited to meet my mum. But I'm sure that'll give her the extra boost that Magic Meg needs on the day, the fact that my mother's going to be in the stand. But I'm
What's your mum's win record like?
My mum hasn't been, no, I tell a lie. My mum's been to a Leicester Tigers men's game before. She came to, because I couldn't go. So she went to the Marcus Ayerza match where Tigers played Argentina and Marcus swapped shirts at half time. But she's not been to a Leicester Tigers women's team yet. So she's not been to see them play. This is the first time she'll have been to see them play in the flesh. And, so this could be it. So my mum's women's team record at home could be 100% win. This could be it. Like, I'm excited. This, yeah. And that'll be, then we'll have to bring my mum along to all games because she'll be our lucky charm. But what do you think, Jacob? This 7 p.m. kickoff, I'm hoping it's going to entice a bit more families to come along, because it feels like a better family-friendly kickoff time. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's a tough one because obviously quarter to eight kickoff allows people who finish work at five to travel in. So there's pros and cons of both. But yes, I agree. That's definitely a more family-friendly kickoff time, which is really good. I mean, obviously, back in the day for like the A-League games, they tended to be quite good attendances, even though it was like a Monday, Tuesday night. They tend to be quite good attendances in terms of family and what's known the Traveview stand. So yeah, I can see why the club are going sort of similar approach, which is quite exciting. And we need to, you know, it's a great opportunity. It's a great way of getting kids, young boys and girls, families into the game. You know, that's a really good opportunity. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that goes. But yeah, whether kind of how viable will it be for potentially more the commuting fans, obviously finishing at work at, well, I know it's a Friday, so you might finish a bit earlier than five, but obviously, you know, commuting in Leicester City Centre on a Friday at five, you know, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. But no, I think this is definitely a really exciting opportunity. And, you know, I think Meg talked about this in her interview, but we got the sense of disappointment at the time that when we last played Ealing Trailfinders women, when we had quite a, you know, sort of a tough defeat, 36-7, you know, we felt at the time, because before we played Ealing, neither side had got their first PWR win. And we felt at the time that whoever got that win would sort of, you know, that would kind of lead to a quick upward trajectory and get some results. That happened to Ealing first. Obviously, since we played Sale, that's happened to us, and we're now sort of, I think the gap has closed between the two teams. I remember thinking that we did have a good start in against Ealing. I think we sort of, or you know, they might have scored first, but then we scored it again through Ellis Martin. It kind of felt in that first half it would be quite a tight affair, and then for Ealing sort of get to take the game away from us in that second half, we weren't taking advantage of things like the wind and the plastic pitch was very disappointing. But I know for a fact that the girls will be motivated to put a better account of themselves against Ealing. And yeah, this is absolutely a huge, huge opportunity to get that first PWR win at home in front of what potentially should be our biggest crowd of the season as well for the women's game. Like that's going to be so exciting.
I agree. And I've just got a little overexcited, maybe. I'm going to run you through their fixtures or their past results. And there's one that's kind of standing out to me that kind of whets my appetite for this game. And also shows how like fixtures in this league can go either way at any weekend. But I'll kind of run you through because I may be getting overexcited. So feel free to tell me off for getting overexcited. They opened their campaign against Harlequins at home and they lost 17 points to 22. They then hosted Saracens at home late November and lost that game 18 points to 52. They then played us, got their first win of the season at home, 36 points to 7. They then went away to Bristol Bears, this is middle of December, and lost that game 41 points to 17. Then they got their second win of the season late in December against Sale Sharks at home, which was 24 points to 22. Then they opened their 2024 start to the year with a loss at home playing Gloucester Hartbury, 27 points to 33. Then they played Loughborough Lightning away and lost that game 45 points to 21. Then they played Saracens and lost that game 48 points to 17. Now, I'm probably getting overexcited, but it's that Loughborough Lightning score that is kind of getting me giddy for, because we've just played Lightning. They've played Lightning not too long ago. Am I drawing too many conclusions in, you know, there are bye weeks in this league. People can come in and out due to injury. We've spoken also about the fact that, you know, a lot of people are playing almost part-time rugby because they've got full-time jobs. So that can have a sway in some of these results as well. Not everybody is on an international contract like many of our Red Roses are. Am I drawing too many conclusions and getting overexcited? Or what are your thoughts about all of their kind of season so far?
Yeah, I think so when they beat us, they went a little bit of a run, was getting some good results. And even if they weren't winning, they were, you know, they were getting losing bonus points. I think they've dipped slightly since then, since we've gone on an upward curve. And yeah, no, you're definitely right to point out that Loughborough result. It'll be very, very interesting to see what kind of teams are named by both sides and how that has an impact on potentially the result and the nature of the game. So it's definitely something that we should be highlighting. Yeah, I just think it's a great opportunity. We always said, you know, when we were reviewing the away fixture, we always said that this home fixture was going to be an exciting opportunity to get revenge and stuff. And I keep thinking, you know, I remember when we were previewing the original fixture away, we were talking about, obviously, you know, Trailfinders are coached by Giselle Mather, who is, you know, one of the most highly rated female coaches in the land, you know, was touted as potentially being sort of Simon Middleton's replacement for England women, you know, and obviously, you know, Vicky McQueen has always spoken so highly about her and stuff. And now this is an opportunity, I think, for you know, Vicky McQueen to sort of have her, I think, to Star Wars and have her Darth Vader moment. And, you know, when I left you, I was the learner. Now I am the master kind of moment.
Do we have to pay Disney any rights for that quote? Are we okay to use that in a podcast?
Well, I didn't use a Darth Vader impression, so I'm hoping we get away with that one. But
I'm disappointed you didn't do a Darth Vader impression, to be honest. I think our listeners deserve to hear, to be, you know. Anyway, I won't put you on the spot with it.
For legal reasons, we won't run the risk. But
I think right. It's almost a you know, master and apprentice, or, you know, or like two female coaches that clearly like respect each other so much. I'm steering away from the Star Wars stuff of master and apprentice, because I feel we'll become a Star Wars echo chamber, you and I, and we shall go and spin down too many metaphors and allegories. But it's two, this is what's so pleasing. It's two coaches that are female, that are coaching, you know, in the top of their game in the PWR, facing each other. They clearly have so much respect for one another. And I really think that's admirable. And you can see, it's going to be a proper duel. I've done it. I've gone back to Star Wars again. It's going to be a duel.
No, I agree. I agree. And I think, you know, it's going to be interesting because we've got to maintain that high. We want to do well. We want to get revenge over Ealing, because we didn't give the best account of ourselves away last time. And, you know, obviously there's the opportunity there to get our home win, our first ever home win in the PWR match at Wolseworthford Road. You know, we've just got to sort of maintain our heads a little bit, and I think focus on continuing doing the good things we've been doing, on continuing making those massive hits in defence, having that attack, you know, trying to piece everything together and keep that momentum. I want to see us really go for them in the rolling mall this week. It was something that gave us success the last time we played them. You know, it's something that we haven't been using as much, really. In the last couple of games.
Are you saying then, when Amy Kakane comes on, she's going to score a rolling maul try? Is that your prediction that I will obviously hold you to?
Yeah, I'll go for it. Because she's been training for a couple of weeks, so hopefully, you know, the drill should be there. There shouldn't be too many issues to iron out in terms of communication and frequency, you would hope slash think. So that's going to be something that's really, really exciting. And Yeah, I just think it's going to be a really good occasion. I just think, you know, Friday Night Lights, opportunity to get a really good crowd. There's going to be some great rugby on show. I think we need to say showcase that as well. There's going to be, both sides have shown this season their ability to attack. I mean, they've got Abby Dow, for God's sake. They, you know, they're going to throw the ball around and try and score some crackers. But, you know, if Sangapolu puts in another crunching hit and they can't even get the ball to the wide channels, again, that would be amazing to see as well. So I definitely think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be close, I think. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be close, like the men's game was from last weekend. Hopefully not as nerve-wracking. But
please don't make it as nerve-wracking. Please. That's my plea to the players, because the men's game was really like, ooh. So make it emotional, but please don't make it as tense. I think I'm going to put my prediction in before yours. I think it's going to be, obviously we'll win. I think it's going to be close in those kind of 20s regions again that we spoke about with the Loughborough Lightning / Northampton Saints. I think it's going to be like 27 to us in, and they'll be in like the 20-ish region. That's my prediction. And I, you know, I think, like we spoke about with Magic Meg on her kind of slow clap, and then she got that and executed that skill. I think we'll be looking to a few moments for Magic Meg's boot to get us some kind of all important penalty or conversion points to keep the scoreboard ticking along. I think that's really, really important for us. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I've just had a look for the weather. So according to the BBC, on Friday at 7 o'clock, it's going to be dry. There's going to be the smallest patter of rain in the mid-afternoon. So the pitch should be fairly okay. 4 degrees, so not awfully cold. Maybe a tad on
Thank
the
God,
cold side.
I've packed me shorts. So genuinely, I've packed my shorts. I'm in shorts unless it's like Arctic. So I'm glad to relieve that the weather hasn't changed since I packed, because I'm wearing shorts. That's it. I haven't packed any long trousers. I rarely do.
So, yeah, fair enough. Honestly, fair enough. So I just had a look at the weather just to kind of see the conditions, because you're talking about the scoreline. I think it has the potential to be quite high scoring, because both teams are capable of throwing the ball around. I want us to see, we've got better defending on the fringes. I still think it's somewhere where teams can exploit us, even though we have got better. So it'll be interesting. I think the scoring will be potentially a bit higher. I think we'll win. I think it might be sort of more 32 to Tigers, 25, 27 to Ealing. I think it'll be that kind of scoreline. So that's my prediction. But as long as we win, I'll be a happy and content man. And I think, you know, I know a lot of times this season we've sounded a bit like a broken record when we have been previewing some of these home games. But, you know, I generally think, and you can get this with Meg's interview as well, the sort of the optimism, the excitement, the good vibes around camp. I think the belief as well, the belief is there. You know, they know that Sale wasn't a fluke. That's a big plus with getting that East Mids derby win against Loughborough Lightning. And obviously, you know, our performance last time at Edwards Welford Road against Gloucester, even though we didn't get the win, was probably our best performance all season. So, you know, there's a lot of confidence, and as long as we apply that in the right way, which I'm confident we will do, should be a wonderful, wonderful occasion. So before we round off, please, if you can, I know we've been talking about it a lot. Jess was talking about it on the Rolling Mall last week. I'm sure she'll be talking about it on the Leicester Tigers rugby show on BBC Radio Leicester tonight. Do get your tickets if you can. It's going to be a great occasion. Let's pack out that Trayview stand and potentially be a part of history.
Yeah, I make no apologies for being an eternal optimist either, but you are absolutely right. Let's pack out that Trayview stand. Get yourselves down there. What better things have you got to do on a Friday night? Absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. Get yourselves down to cheer on the women's team, beat Trailfinders, and get that first home win as part of the PWR. And if you needed any more convincing, we're pretty sure that you might see Amy Kakane wearing the Tigers jersey, playing it in front of a home crowd for the first time. For the first time. This is history. This is exciting. Come on. Like, get yourself down there. No excuses. No excuses whatsoever. I'm so excited. You'll be able to hear me cheering. If you're not in the ground, you'll probably be able to hear me cheering in like Market Harborough area. I'm going to shout. I'm going to shout my absolute lungs out to be the extra person, the 16th person for the women's team to ensure they get over the line and get that first home win. So get yourself down. I'm so excited. But that is it. That's the end of our pod, because I'll ramble and say I'm excited until the end of time, and this recording will be endless. Thank you so, so much for listening with us, for joining with us. As Jacob said earlier on in the pod, please, please, please get in touch with us at LTW Fancast on Twitter, at LTW Fancast Uncontested app, where we got our first ever correct prediction for the Gloucester Hartbury Sale game last weekend. We're going to post our predictions for this weekend's PWR fixtures going on the app shortly. You can also reach out to us on email, as John did. Thank you again for John. You can reach out to us at ltwfancast@gmail.com and send along your ramblings, concise thoughts, essays, thesis. We don't mind, even if it's just a Top Tiger Time fight over via an email as opposed to a Twitter. We don't mind. Whatever interaction you want to give to us is absolutely brilliant, and we encourage it. Thank you ever for our sponsors, Leicester Forest Rugby Club. Thank you amazing, amazing for your support and all the work that you've done behind the scenes supporting the growth of the game in the region. Thank you, and we'll see you all next week after the Ealing win, when we beat them and we're back here cheering on the win, celebrating a hat trick by Amy Kakane, all by Roland Moores. Or maybe one chip and chase in there as well. I'm saying it. We'll see
just
you all next
week.
Yes.
That'd be cool.
So two Roland Moores tries, one chip and chase by Amy Kakane, a hat trick. We'll see you all next week.